Today in our hot seat, we got Carol Velandia, founder and CEO of Equal Access Language Services. Hello, Carol. Good to have you here. Thanks for joining us.
Hello, Gabriel and Inge. Thank you for having me. I'm very excited to be here.
Yes, let's do it.
Welcome to C-Suite Hot Seat, the show where we put C-level executives from language service providers of all sizes in the hot seat. We will ask tough questions and get inspired answers. Our host today, Gabriel Karnaszewski, Chief Operating Officer, and Lindsay's Inge Boonen, Chief Growth Officer.
So, Carol, in one sentence, can you tell us what it is that Equal Access Language Services actually does as a company?
We prevent language-based discrimination.
When you were a kid, was language discrimination something you faced? And were you already thinking at the time of a career in this sector? Or what did you think you would become when you were a child?
I did not face language discrimination. I did always wanted a career related to language. And in fact, my parents gave me my name, Carol, based on the Pope John Paul II, whose birth name was Carol Wojtyla, and he was a polyglot. And that was the trait I admired the most about the Pope. Now, why did they name me after the Pope is still a mystery to me. But that sort of inspired me to try to learn at least one other language. And traveler of any kind was another career, if you will. So travel agent or a diplomat was also one of my dreams. So anything that had to do with language, traveling, working with people was a perfect career for me.
Oh, excellent. And now when you're not working, how do you like to spend your time? Are you still busy with languages or traveling, or what is it that you do?
I love flamenco dancing, and I take quite a few hours a week training on flamenco, going to classes. And in fact, I'm about to go to Spain for a few months even to learn flamenco, which is another language. It's a very complex language.
Absolutely. And yeah, my question would have been the next one, which three different countries you would choose to visit. And so you already mentioned Spain, and yeah, you're going to Granada, and that's a fantastic place for flamenco. That's
gonna yes.
be. Are you gonna travel around Andalusia then if you're staying a couple of months?
I'm staying a couple of months in Granada, so I'm going to take some time to work on my company since I will be removed from a lot of things that I have to do when I'm here in the US that have to do with things that are not necessarily associated with the company. So I am taking a break from all of that for a while. And I'm visiting Granada, staying there and learning flamenco a little more, working on the company. And really one of the reasons why I wanted to go to Granada besides flamenco is because it's such a rich city in terms of cultures, right? The blend of the Arabic culture and the Christian culture is very, very marked there. The architecture, the food is just wonderful. So that's definitely one country I want to visit many times. Not Granada, Spain. I would not mind to repeat Spain year after year.
Yeah, I can imagine. And it's true. It's a very rich culture, amazing food. So that's a nice choice. And if you had to think of two other countries, where would you?
Well, Japan is at the top of my list. I find very identify with Japanese culture. I forgot the name of the hot bath that I want to try out. I don't remember. But the food, I love the food, the Japanese food, and also very rich culturally and architecturally. And I definitely would love to visit Kyoto. I hope I have the opportunity. And the last country I want to visit is actually Mexico. I have been there just in passing. And many years ago, when I was there representing the hospital I used to work for, I was also doing my MBA and I was studying for my statistics exam and I missed the pyramid. So to this day, I'm like, how in the world did I not go to the pyramids to study for this exam? So I want to go back to Mexico.
Wow, very nice choices. And the last question on my end, what's the best piece of advice that you've ever been given?
Persevere, never give up. My mother, when I was a little kid, 10 years old, gave me this book by Og Mandino, the greatest salesperson in the world. And he had 10 different commands, basically, to be a great salesperson. And the one that stuck with me the most was to persevere, persevere, and persevere.
Very nice. Thank you, Carol. We know you a little bit better now. Thank you. But now come the tough questions. Are you ready for those?
Yes.
All right, let's do it. The very first one, what inspired you to start your company?
It really was an experience with a patient I had. I used to work for a hospital here in Baltimore. And this patient, when I met him, he had gone through a lot of hardship in his life. He fled Central America and tried to immigrate the first time here using the train La Bestia. That's a freight train. A lot of people die because of trying to ride on the train. And he did that and was successful, but then deported back to his country and then tried a second time coming through the desert. And then when he was here, he, after fleeing poverty and crime and recruitment by the gangs, he suffered poverty and crime again here. And then he fell ill and ended up in the hospital. But he was turned back because there was no interpreter. And then by the time I met him, he tells me this story. Oh my God, I came here 2 months ago and there was no interpreter available. Something happened with his appointment. And here he was much sicker than 2 months prior. And it made me really think the tremendous impact that language access has in people, right? And when you are an immigrant in any country, but I can speak from my experience as an immigrant and with other immigrants. The only thing you have as your main asset is your body. You have nothing else, especially the patient I'm talking about, Jose. He had nothing to his name, just his body to be able to work and send money back to his country. So your body is your major asset. Your health is your major asset. And that applies to everybody. So when you see it that way and you realize how language and effective communication is the most important diagnostic tool and how we fail providing this essential service and how can that affect health, that really made me think, I really want to do something beyond being an interpreter for people that suffer language barriers. And if we think about it, all of us can suffer language barriers depending on the context where we are. And all of us can be subject to being sick or in trouble in a country where English or whatever language we speak is not spoken. So that's why I created my company.
Thank you. That's a very powerful origin story. And I'm sure many can relate to that, even those viewing this episode. Thank you for sharing. Another question then, what would you describe as the biggest challenge in your day-to-day work?
For a while, I was trying to really establish my signature process. So that was a challenge for me to try to understand exactly how to sell the niche where I work. So it took me a while to finally craft the products that I want to sell through my company.
Mm-hmm. There is. And mm-hmm. So talk us through your biggest success. What can be labeled as your biggest success to date?
I created a training program called Effective Communication Through Language Access. And I was able to really convinced the University of Maryland to buy the class for different schools. So it has been a two-year long process. But I think it's really, really important that people that are just going to school and learning how to work with patients or with clients understand what language access is. So even though that hasn't been yet a financial success for me necessarily because the class is not yet live, I consider it a success because of all the hurdles that you have to go through be in academia and the fact that it was accepted and embraced by three different schools, the School of Social Work, Nursing, and Pharmacy at this point. It means a lot to me. But that training is also done with private companies or organizations in different formats. So that has been my major success. I think it's innovative and it reflects what I think my purpose is.
Amazing. Very nice. Thank you. All right. What lessons have you learned in business or throughout your career?
In business that one has to pivot. I think COVID-19 was for many of us a critical, right? Because either we pivot and try to adjust to what the world was telling us or we would die in the attempt, right? So I think that was the major lesson with COVID was that I needed to pivot and look at new technology and adjust my company to the new technology. I am a very small company and I was even smaller then. So, but I was like, okay, I have to incorporate technology in order to survive.
Got it. Thank you. So what is the secret sauce to your company's success?
Well, I don't know if there is a secret sauce, but I think that we focus in really listening to our clients and understanding what are their pain points. And that sounds a very trait, I know, but it is true. When we are onboarding clients, we really try to listen to understand what is it that they need. And if I may share a very brief story of my life in India, one thing that people used to say whenever I entered into any kind of transaction was like, if you're happy, I'm happy. And that has stuck with me. It's like, I think we should do like that with our clients. Is if our client is successful, then I'm successful. So it's a business version of, if you're happy, I'm happy. So I think our secret sauce is that we really try to make our client, we focus in our client success.
I like that. I think I'm going to borrow that. If you're happy, I'm happy as well. thank you. Do you have a mentor? Who do you consider a mentor?
I have several. In fact, Renato is one. He doesn't know much. And he doesn't know that he is my mentor, but I consider him my mentor. And we have met a couple of times, but he's definitely one. He helped me, for example, sort of perceiving this whole AI as an opportunity more than a threat, guide me through some of the books that even he has written. And I do have other mentors. My first mentor in the US was the person I owe most of my life here in the US. Her name was Camille Wheeler, and she passed away a couple of years ago. And I adopted her as my American mother. And she was my business mentor as well, my professional mentor. And she really embodied what a mentor should be, a person that is very invested in your outcome as a mentee.
Thank you so much. And thank you, Carol, for joining us in the hot seat.
My pleasure.
I don't think you sweat as much as you will in Granada.
I'm going to sweat a lot because I'm going to be dancing and going up the hills. Granada is a hilly place, and the place where I'm going to live is up at the top.
Enjoy the flamenco class in Granada. That sounds like a fabulous trip.
Thank you, Gabriel and Inge. And yeah, I look forward to interacting with you in the future.
If anyone else feels like letting off some steam and you're part of the C-suite at a company in the language services industry, sign up with us if you dare to sit in our hot seat.
This was all, folks. Thank you for watching and look out for our next episode that will be published as a video on Multilingual TV and as a podcast on the NIMSY website.